I had an entire season of life where I felt like it's not your turn. I had to say it out loud to myself over and over again. It's not your turn. It's not your turn, but it's hers. And so you're going to clap for her and you're going to show up for her, because who you are when it's not your turn is more important than who you will be when it is.
Host of the Jesus Viral Podcast, author of I'll See You Tomorrow, associate communications professor, we have the beautiful Heather Thompson Day with us today. I pray this blesses you, friend. I believe God put a specific light in your heart for a purpose, for you to shine it into this world in a way that nobody else can, a light that is unique as the print on your finger. And our job is to take that light and go love people with it in this world. Everywhere you go, you have a ministry. You don't just have to be a preacher to have a ministry. Your light is your ministry. It's how you shine it at your job, at your family, at the dinner table with your friends, at the movies, at the park, at your apartment. Everywhere you go, you are made to shine your light. Do it. Be it. Love people. Be kind. Honor them. Honor yourself. This is Made to Shine. Welcome back to Made to Shine. As you just heard in that introduction, we are in for such a delight and such a treat today. We have the beautiful and amazing Heather Thompson Day with us on today. And why I wanted Heather on is, as you all know, here at Made to Shine, we believe every single person has a ministry. It's not just preachers. It's not just pastors. It's the way you live your life. Going to your college dorm room or in high school, just the way you hang out with your friends and treat your parents. And Heather, I've seen from afar you do that with, you know, you host this podcast, you're a writer, you're a teacher, you're a wife, you're a daughter. I mean, you, in all the spaces that you hold and occupy, have this light about you that I've seen from afar. And so I'm so excited and honored to have you on Made to Shine today to just pour light into this upcoming generation we see.
Absolutely my honor. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, well, so excited. And I know, obviously, you do a lot. And I think it's very easy in this day and age, especially for the younger generation, to look at someone like you doing all you do and associate the road to get to all these accomplishments with ease, right? Mm. And I think that's the biggest kind of miscommunication in our world right now. So kind of back us up. And give us almost the most important pieces of context, if you will, to this story of this person that I'm speaking to right now that kind of shaped your heart.
Yeah. So I actually just posted a reel like a little bit ago today that I think encapsulates what I want to say. I would say who you are when it's not your turn is more important than who you will be when it is.
Wow.
And so I think we always look at people's lives, or we look at our own lives. I know I did this for many years, and I still have to have conversations with myself about this in the morning. We look at people's lives and we think, you know, life starts when I get there. Life starts when I get married. Life starts when I have kids. Life starts when I get the job. My life will start when I get the book deal. Okay, I'm really going to, Lord, I'm going to get it together when all X, Y, and Z falls into place. And I am telling you, friend listening right now, your life starts right here. Because who you are when it's not your turn is more important than who you will be when it is. It is. We just hit our 100th episode on Viral Jesus, my podcast, this today, actually on Thursday today. And I was just thinking about, like, it is not hard to do a podcast when you know you're going to have thousands of downloads. That's not hard. And it doesn't take character. And I would say it doesn't mean that God has called you to it or put you there. Mm. What was hard and what takes character and what takes integrity is to show up day after day after day when you don't know if anyone's even going to listen. That's hard. Mm. Right? So our lives don't start when we get to where we think we should be. Our lives start when we decide to show up where we are. And when students sit in my office, this happens all the time, and they say, I don't know what the purpose to my life is. I'm just trying to figure out my purpose. And I tell them, purpose is not like a destination. The definition of the word purpose is the reason you do what you do. So right now, friend, and if I'm talking to my student, I'm like, your purpose, your life is to go to class.
Wow.
You go to class with purpose. It's the reason you do what you do. I'm going to show up and I'm going to take everything I can from this moment because this is where I am. This is where God has placed me and I'm going to be faithful to this moment. Christians, my desire is that we will raise an entire generation that sees their lives this way and start showing up and being faithful to what God has actually placed in their hands, not what we wish he had placed in our hands.
That is so good. Okay, what first came to mind was, I don't know if you've seen this TikTok. It's of this little boy. I mean, he's got to be in first or second grade, and his mom's filming him because he's talking about the part he got in a play for the Nativity. And he's like, he's British. I'm not going to try to be British right now. My British accent's horrible. But he was like, Mom, guess what part I am? It's a classic. And she was like, Jesus? He's like, no. And she was like, Joseph? No. The wise men? No. And she's like, but it's a classic? He's like, yeah. And anyways, he was like, door holder number two. And he was so excited to be door holder number two. Mm. And I have literally, Heather, I've played this on repeat so many times in the morning and at night because it just reminded me, this little boy was so proud that he was door holder number two. And he even said, like, his mom's like, what did you do when you found out? He was like, I told them, get in there. I'm door holder number two. He was just so stoked. And I'm curious, especially because in your own journey, but also you teach. So you see this in real time. When do you think the culprit of us kind of not feeling like what we're doing is important is because of social media, or has it always been there? And when do we start feeling that way? Like at what age, what are kind of the pressures that shift that thinking from, yeah, what I'm doing matters, even if it's being door holder number two, to I'm not good enough?
Yeah, I won't say for everybody. I just know for me, I think my disposition was that what I did didn't matter. And if anything, I think that was what I went through life. That's what I'm spending all these years in adulthood trying to correct, is realizing, oh, actually the way I teach this class does matter. And I think my default position has always been that it's not going to make a difference. Like whether I'm there or not doesn't really matter. And how I show up doesn't matter. And there's so many more important people. You know what I mean? What difference will it make how I show up or engage in a conversation or walk into a room? So I think social media has probably exacerbated that. I can't say because I think my whole life has been mostly online. You know what I mean? Like we had AIM. We didn't have Instagram, I guess, until I was in college. But so as long as I've been in college, which is when I'm starting my professional pursuits, that's always been that you can see how many people are doing it bigger or better than you.
That's so true. Do you think in your own journey, this word mattering, I feel like everybody, we all put different weight on what matters. Like I was talking to someone literally a few hours ago before this, who's in corporate tech sales, and they were all worried about this deal that might close or might not close versus if it's going to be as big as this other person's that's might close or not close. And I'm over here thinking like, I could care less about that situation, but you care so much about, because that's the weight. That's what matters. Yeah. What do you think is kind of the lopsided narrative of what should matter versus kind of the individualistic, what matters to each and every one of us? Like, where do we get that narrative wrong in regards to what should matter to us and what does?
I think I'll speak from my experience. I think part of the problem was that I thought I was always taught about a great big God, right? This great big God that shows up in great big ways for great big people. And so when I didn't see myself at all in that narrative, I couldn't connect. I didn't know how to connect that great big God into my everyday normal life. Does that make sense? And I can remember the day I had lunch with a friend. It was in October, would be probably 5 years ago now, on my college campus. And I had just pitched another book that in this time, like the publisher sought me out. And so I thought, this is it. It's finally going to happen. I'm going to get a book deal. And it fell through. And I didn't even want to go to this lunch anymore because I was I just felt so defeated. And I go into the lunch and I told her, oh, my book got rejected and blah, blah, blah. And I remember she said to me, like, Heather, your life doesn't start later. And part of the problem is that you think that it's a great big God. She was like, my God is small. And he's as present with us in this lunch as he is when I'm looking for my keys or when you're going to walk across campus and where you're going to teach that class with five kids in it. Like, the God that I know cares as much about these small pieces of our life as the big ones. And so I think part of that great big God conversation has caused a lot of us to only think that we matter to God if we do something big for him. Instead of, which I really think now, like, my whole philosophy has changed. Like, now every, so I often, like, if I go speak at a, in a church group or a women's Bible study and there's like 20 people there, I walk down that hallway before I go on stage and I'm like, wow, God, like, what an honor. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that this is so important to you.
Yeah.
That I would get up here and that these people would even show up for 10 people, 5 people, 15 people. Like, that's the upside down kingdom of God. And we all have to start looking at our lives in that context.
Yeah. Wow. Did that? So all that to say, something I was talking about with my mom the other day on a walk was like, Mom, I really need to start falling in love with the mundane, because I feel like I'm living for, at the time it was like the next thing, like the next,
what's the next?
And I was like, I really need to learn how to be like, God is in my mundane, in my brushing my teeth, in my putting my hair up. Like, he's in all of it. And so that's so funny that you say that. And I'm curious, because I think about in my own mind, I'm like, okay, Heather, did you get that way because of like a humbling experience? Like, did God proactively humble you to get to that point? Or was that just an intention that you set? And the reason I ask that is I'm thinking for the people listening that are like, you know what? I agree with you, but they're going to turn this off and go right back to.
Yeah.
So is it almost like it's a reaction based off of something that happened? Or can people practically do something now to experience that appreciation of God in the mundane?
That is a good question. I think for me, I kept having God not answer the prayers that I kept praying. And I didn't know, I guess the reaction that I had, and we all, you know, get to decide how we're going to respond. I've actually changed my whole philosophy on this, because I used to think that like the story that God is creating in our lives is like the events. And now I realize, oh, it's always been us. Like, it's how we respond to whatever the event is. That's the story. And so whether it's a good story or a bad story is always about how we navigate the circumstances that we're in, whether big or small. So for me, I just was praying. I had this whole season of life. I wrote a book about it called It's Not Your Turn. I had an entire season of life where I felt like, it's not your turn. I had to say it out loud to myself over and over again. It's not your turn. It's not your turn, but it's hers. And so you're going to clap for her and you're going to show up for her, because who you are when it's not your turn is more important than who you will be when it is. And so I don't think I've ever gotten to a point where, to be honest, Annie, where like, I love the mundane. I get up and I have worship every single day. It's very important to my structure of how I do my life, because I really believe in showing up fully to everything that I'm in. And so like, I have to talk, like, people say, oh, God's going to give you this well that runs over. For me, I have to dig. It's not just been given to me. I have to seek it and place myself before it. And I do that. I'm militant about my worship with the Lord every single morning. And I walk my block at like 6 a.m. every single morning. And I just say to God, like, give me your spirit for this day, that before I got on here with you, I think, give me your spirit that I may show up to this thing, God, as if I'm on Good Morning America. Let me care about every single thing I do in such a way that brings you glory by me just entering into that space as if you've called me to be there. Right? Our anointing begins the day we believe we have one. So the second you start seeing your life as if it matters, I promise you, you're going to walk into rooms different. And you're going to start thinking about the person who's sitting there next to you. You're going to start to think, what if they're not here by accident? Like, what if I'm supposed to talk to them? What if all of this actually matters? And once you start living your life as if it matters, you'll start seeing things change. I'm not talking about in big ways. For me, I taught, this is the example I give. I left that lunch with my friend Tassiana, and I walked into my classroom, and it was a class after lunch. There was probably 6 students in there. Their heads are on their desks. They don't want to be there.
Yeah.
And I just thought to myself, okay, my God is small. I'm going to teach this class as if it's the most important thing I'm ever going to do in my entire life. I'm going to teach this class as if God has anointed me and called me to teach this class. Typically, if I had walked into a room with 5 students and their heads on their desk after lunch who don't want to be there, I would just be like, okay, let me just get through what we got to get through and I'll let you guys go. This day, because I was on this new thing with the Lord, I said, I'm going to show up. And so I taught that class as if I was in a lecture hall with like 300 people. It was probably over the top, but I really gave it to them. And afterwards, a student came to my office who I hadn't talked to much before. And she said, hey, I just want to thank you because something you said, I can't even remember what it was, but something you said in the lecture today was an answer to a prayer I've been praying for like the last 7 months about what to do after graduation. So I just want to thank you for what you said. And so I was just like, yeah, of course. She walks away and I go, oh, I sat in my office and I go, oh my goodness. What if I had just phoned it in? What if I had just said, let me get through this, guys, and I'll let you go? Like, what if I didn't believe that I was actually there on purpose? She would have not heard the answer that she had been praying to hear. And then I started to think, oh my goodness, how many times in life has God placed me or positioned me in a place and I missed it? And then other people go to bed and they say, well, God, you don't hear my prayer, or God, you're not answering me, or God, but God sent me to be an answer and I didn't fulfill my end of the bargain, right? So that's what I'm saying. We fill up, we dig every single day. Lord, make sure I don't miss something that you've brought into my life today. Make sure I don't miss a person that you brought into my life today. And we just show up to our lives as if it matters. And little by little, I'm telling you, not that like, I'm still not on Good Morning America, but I have students that write me thank you notes at the end of the semester. And that for me has been enough to say, oh my goodness, like it mattered. It all actually mattered. If it matters to one person, it matters. I can promise you that to the Lord.
That is so true. Funny enough, it makes me think about my sister just got a new dog. And this, I'm going to loop back to the relevance here in a second. But this dog is psycho. I mean, she is like the most energetic thing in the world. And you could be gone for 2 seconds and come back. And it's like, she's not seen you in 7 years. Like, she's just so, and Lizzie told me, my sister, the other day, she was like, she read in a book or something that, you know, to the dog, like the dog for you is a part of your world, but to them, you are their entire world. Mm. And for some reason that convicted me so much, because I was like, how many times am I with people and I make them feel like you are the most important part of my world? Like, I want you to know I am here with you. I am so excited to be with you, no matter who you are, your story, or where we are, where we're meeting. And I think what I love about what you said is, looping back into the beginning, you mentioned purpose. People are so freaked out about their purpose right now.
Yeah.
People are, I mean, purpose anxiety is a literal term. And especially my age, I know I went through this period where I was afraid of missing it. Like, God, am I going to do something wrong to miss what you want to do with me? And it's like people put so much focus on being for God and working for God that we're forgetting we got to walk with God and we got to be with God. And so I'm curious, in your own journey as a person who you've done so much and you have accomplished so much, can you talk to me through your relationship with like working and like working from worth as opposed to working for it, or like the kind of the distinction between accomplishing a lot but not letting that define you?
I think most of my life up until probably the last 4 years, I was working for worth. I mean, when people... Anybody who, so here's some of my backstory. There's Viola Davis. She has a book that's called Finding Me,
and she tells this. Such a good book.
Have you read it? Okay, so you know this reference.
I hope. Good. Yeah.
I hope our people listening might just. I'll explain the reference, but she tells the story about how she's meets Will Smith. She's like doing a movie with Will Smith or something, and Will Smith says to Viola, "Who are you?" And she's like, "I'm." I'm Viola Davis. And he's like, no, but who are you? And she's like, I don't know what you mean. I'm Viola Davis. And he goes, no, but he's like, I'm Will Smith, but I'm also still the 15-year-old boy who had his heart broken by a girl. And everything I actually do is coming out of a place of me trying to wait for someone to really, truly love me. So who are you? And then she tells the story about her childhood. But when I heard that, I was like, whoa, because I was expelled from school in eighth grade, my small town Christian school. My dad was like an evangelist my entire life. So big Christian family, and I get expelled from the Christian school. And I've realized that I've spent the majority of my life trying to like be somebody that my parents would be proud of, right? Like trying to vindicate whatever that story was that I perceived not just my school to have kicked me out, but I really perceived it to be because it was Christian, like the church or like God has expelled. I'm never going to be good enough for these people. That's how I felt. Mm. And so I spent most of my life, and this was not a conscious choice. But my decision to try to, I never took a break from school. I never took a summer off. I finished my PhD, I think by like 31, something like that. Published, I think I'm on my like 9th book. Those aren't actions of somebody who is like secure in who they are. That was somebody who was desperately trying to prove to my parents, who have always loved me, but I was still trying to earn it, from the people in my community, from church life. I will be good enough. When will it be? Is it good enough yet? Is it good enough yet? Is it good? If I do one more book, is this, that was my entire life. And it has only been in the last 4 years that, and I don't even know how it happened. I just think God is so good that God started to like change my perspective and helped me realize like, Heather, I don't care. I really don't care if you write another book. You are good enough just for like who you are. Right. And then all of a sudden, and this is the season I'm in right now, where I'm not needing, or I'm trying to not need, other people's validation for who I am. Right. Like, so here, for me, it's a writer, and whoever's listening, insert your thing. But I had this moment a year and a half ago where I was like, okay, if I don't publish another book and I feel like my gift is writing, like, what do I? Is publishing a book what makes me a writer, or is me writing what makes me a writer? And so then I started writing these newsletters that I don't get paid for. And I only have, it's like my smallest community. I only have like 2,000 people that subscribe to this newsletter. So I send out this newsletter every single Friday night at 7 o'clock. And it's just like every single week, I just think about, what have I learned this week? How have I seen God? What has challenged me? How have I seen the Spirit speak to me? And I write this little encouraging email that I send to people. And I've just, it's the best thing I've ever done. And it's like this space that I feel like, you know what, if nothing else changes in my life, if I never become a New York Times bestseller, if my publisher tells me this is your last book, this next one that's coming out, I'm still a writer, right? Because I am. Hmm. And I don't need the approval or a committee or a list to tell me what I believe God has called me to do. And so I just want to say to the person who's listening, whatever it is you think you are, you just serve in that thing and you don't need permission. You don't need approval. You figure out, can I just do this without whatever it is I think I'm waiting on to prove that now I'm good enough?
Other people validating your work or what you do or who you are. Such a deep, that cuts deep, I think, for all people. And I know I personally have always struggled with, what's the dance between God trusting you with, and I use the word platform, whether that be you're the captain on your tennis team, or it's social media, or it's you're a teacher, or you're the smartest kid in the class and people just look to you naturally, like whatever platform, for lack of a better word. And like wanting to steward that well for the people that God trusted you with, but not internalizing whether or not they approve of how you do that. You know what I mean? Like wanting to love people and knowing that's the goal. But what's the metric for if you've loved well, if you're also trying to not internalize other people's opinions of you?
That's a good question. I'm thinking, so like There's a bunch of things going through my head. I know like narcissism doesn't care whether or not you love me. I just want your adoration. So I guess that's what I would say. Are you looking for like love and to love well, or are you looking for adoration? There's a difference. Ooh. And I think social media plays well to adoration, which is like literally the tendencies of narcissism. So I would be, that's what I'm saying. Like for me to do this newsletter to 2,000 people, I'm doing that because I feel called to it, not because it's, am I serving this thing or is it serving me? I'm serving this thing. Does that make sense?
Oh, like
it's the good shepherd, right?
Yeah.
John 10, verses 11 and 12, though, of John chapter 10, it says, essentially, I'm going to paraphrase, the difference, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. And then he says, a hireling, when he sees a wolf coming, runs and flees because he doesn't care about the sheep because they're not his sheep. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. We are supposed to be in the model of the good shepherd, not a hireling. And I think what we have as a generation in general, when it comes to leadership, of like a bunch of hired hands.
Yeah.
The second there is controversy or conflict or you're hurting my feelings, I'm out of here. A wolf is coming. I'm done. How do we say, no, I'm going to stay, even if this isn't, I'm not getting anything back from this other than the fact that I believe I'm supposed to serve well these people that God has put into my care. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. It's like being impactful versus being impressive. I think, and that goes back to the intention.
Yes, that's good.
Why are you doing it in the first place? And I love that distinction you made between love and adoration, because they're not the same. And I think, and sometimes I'll even say, I think we confuse that with God. Like we look at worship and praise as God needs this from us. Like, that's why I keep putting it off. That's why, like, oh, I went to church this week. Like I did God a solid, you know,
yeah.
Like I expected to do this part, but it's because we've translated how we use these platforms to feel adored and then put that onto God. And it's like, no, praise and worship, that's for us. Like God doesn't need that. For tithing, that's for us. God doesn't need our money like that. He wants our heart. And so I love that distinction you made between adoration and love. And to go back to the question that Will Smith asked Viola Davis there, who are you? What, after all these years, especially kind of the season you're going through now, like if someone were to ask you, Heather, who you are, who are you, how would you respond?
That's a good question. I would say at this moment in my life, I am trying to follow after the shepherd. I very much see, especially just because my role as a teacher with students, I very much see myself as somebody who's supposed to be a mentor and just like a loving, relational adult in young people's lives. And of course, I do a lot of women's ministry, women's lives. Like I just see myself as somebody who's trying to be a shepherd. And specifically, I am especially drawn to people who consider themselves to be lost sheep, because I very much resonate with that idea and that story, because I feel like it, I know what it feels like to just feel like you're never going to be good enough for God to want or God to use or God to love. But here's the beauty. The story has never been about us being good enough. It's that he's always been good enough for even you.
Yeah. So how old are the people that you teach?
Oh, so my students right now are 18 to 22 in general.
Okay, right on target with who we're talking to. Would you say, like, when you talk about the lost sheep, are most of them, I think a lot of people aren't even aware that they're lost. They're lost, and they're grappling for things that they think will make them feel better. But whether they realize it or not, whether it's sex, drugs, alcohol, social media, gossip, judgment, it's like we're looking for what only God can provide in all these things, but we don't even know we're lost. In your experience teaching, Do you see most people have that awareness, or is it a few that are like, I need help, Heather, I'm lost?
I would say I have been shocked at how well this generation communicates for themselves. Is pretty self-aware. And I think some of this has to do with like TikTok therapy and all this vocabulary. I feel like, I don't know, maybe it could just be where I am. I don't want to say, I'm not going to put this on all people. In the spheres I have been in, there's been a lot of sense that people are lost. When I say lost, I don't mean like salvifically. I mean, like, I don't know what's going on in my life. I don't know how to keep showing up. I don't know if I'm supposed to be in this program or that program. I don't know what my relationship with my boyfriend or my girlfriend's supposed to be. I just feel lost in life in general.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I need direction. I've been teaching for, I think, like 12, 13 years. Only in like the last three, it's really been since COVID, has there been such an intense vocabulary of young people of saying, help me. I don't know which way to go.
Do you think that's circumstantial, just with COVID and everything we went through, or is it something that's always been a question, but for the first time now, because of maybe social media, we have language for it?
I would love to. I mean, we know from the research that like COVID has changed society. Yeah. It has literally changed people's brains. So I can't say. I don't remember. I think in my generation, I was lost more so without knowing it. With them, I feel like they know it. I feel like people are I used to love teaching college because it was like this pixie dust magic fairyland place where everybody's like, I can be anything. And that's just not it anymore. I don't hear that. People don't know quite literally how to get out of bed. I've never seen this before in this generation. And so I just really think they need good quality shepherds and leadership and mentors. And so I'm grateful that you're doing this podcast, because I'm telling you, it matters.
It does. It matters. And I think there's beauty in what you said about people coming to you and like speaking up. And I mean, talk to me about, have you, because, you know, you're reaching back right now to shine light for people that you can potentially mentor and be a mentor to, even if you never meet them face to face. But you yourself, like knowing the importance of being that, it probably means you've had mentors in your life. And talk to me about the importance of raising your hand and saying you need help, saying you need mentorship. And if you've ever experienced resistance and being the person to raise her hand and say, I need help, I need guidance, because I've been there before.
You said what?
I've been there before. Like my comfort zone is being the helper and the mentor.
Annie, yes. And
my discomfort zone is, hey, I need help. So have you ever felt that? And like, what's the importance of seeking out mentorship?
That's why I'm genuinely in awe of them. I never went to a professor and said, like, I don't even think I ever asked if I could meet with somebody on office hours if it wasn't about my schedule. This generation is different. They are literally saying, I need a mentor. I need direction. Will you help me with this? I mean, very good at the vocabulary. Not my experience at all. In some ways, maybe I was spoiled. Like, my dad was my greatest mentor. So maybe some of that has to do with that. I had this person who I really admired spiritually and who I really trusted. And his health isn't good now. So he's just, I'm learning to love this very different person right now. And so, I was really lucky that I almost don't even like to tell the story, because I don't want people to feel like, I just think everybody wants this and I don't know why I got so lucky, but I will tell the story because maybe you can be this for somebody else. Yeah. I got really lucky and had somebody reach out to me and say, like, I feel from the Lord that I'm supposed to. Wow. Actually, a couple times. I've had two times. I'm supposed to be guiding you right now. And so what do you need? I mean, I am not the person that would have ever asked for help. So somebody seeing me was very powerful. And so the invitation for that is, if you're 18, 19, 20, yes. Do you want somebody to see you? Of course, we all do. But while you're waiting, is it possible for you to see someone else? Is it possible for you to look back? And I know that like the average 18-year-old is like, what do I have to offer? Ask a 15-year-old. Because I guarantee you, you have something to offer them that's still going through the high school experience.
That is so good. I also will say, I think that there's two parts to that. I think that there's mentorship required for when you've identified what's going on in your life and you need to find a way through, but also mentorship to figure out the language to identify what you're feeling. Because I know I've had times where I've sat there and I'm like, okay, I'm not feeling good. Your sister's not feeling good, I don't know what's wrong. Everything seems to be fine. And sometimes those aren't the same people that God will put in your life to identify and then walk through that identification with. And I think it's important to say that too, because, I felt so many times before, like everybody else, even their problems, they have figured out and they know what they need to work on, while I'm over here, like, I don't even know what the problem is, but it doesn't feel good. You know what I mean? And so I think both of those things are important. And you mentioned like not knowing what to do next. A lot of times I felt concerned about that more times than I can count. I know a lot of people do. And you posted something at some point that said it's okay to not know what is next. Can you kind of talk more about that?
Oh, please. Can I?
Yes, please. Because Lord knows, I think we all need to hear it.
Yeah, this is another like perspective shift that I've had in like the last 4 years, where I realized and this is from the Bible, like every time God shows up to the disciples, they say to him, "Where are we going?" And he says, "Come and see." So that dynamic has shifted my perspective. And all of a sudden I realize I don't think I'm supposed to know where I'm going. Mm. Like, I actually think it is probably detrimental to what you're actually doing with God if you know exactly where you're headed and what your plans are. Woe to my children who have plans that are not mine. The whole reason we are following a good shepherd, John chapter 10, is because you don't know where you're going. That, I think, not knowing where we're going is actually a sign that we're doing something right, not that we're doing something wrong. It means that I'm holding whatever I have loosely enough that I'm saying, God, I'm willing to be redirected. Is it okay? Think about how much more God can do with a person who says, should I step here? Is this okay? Is this right? Okay. How about today? Is this good? Am I doing this right? Rather than somebody who's running ahead. Faith is a walk, because you'd miss things if you were sprinting. You'd miss the person next to you. You'd miss the student. You'd miss the person in your youth group. If you're sprinting ahead, I know exactly where I'm going. Well, who are you following then? Mm-hmm. Christianity is about following God, which actually means you are not going to know where you're going.
Wow.
You're going to come and see.
In my mind, I'm just thinking about, we live in such a self-help, self-development world. I definitely, like when I was younger, I read all the books and I made all the vision boards. And it's like you're coached. If you aim for nothing, you'll hit it every time. If I had a penny for every time I heard that, like if you aim for nothing, you will hit it every time. And so that's so interesting, because you're sitting here so accomplished, like you've done so much, and it's saying, okay, I'm following Jesus. Right. And I think sometimes people miss that on the journey. And I guess my next question, though, would be around, how do you identify what's your job versus God's? Because part of me is, it's like the free will versus like God is still sovereign piece, that dance of, well, I'm not just going to sit here and do nothing. Right. So what am I supposed to do then?
Show up to your life with purpose. And let God worry about all, like, where he's taking you. You know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about going through life hands off. I'm trying to describe going to life fully hands on in every single thing, and trusting that God is working something bigger out than you can even see. Because I don't know. This is one of the questions I love to ask people on podcasts who I just am enamored by, or who have really inspired me. I love to ask them, did you know this is where God was going to take you?
Ooh, I love that.
And
question.
Every single time they say, I had no idea. I mean, often I'll hear something like, I knew God was going to do something. I knew that something was here, that I was supposed to pursue him. But every single time so far, every person I've sat down with, and I'm talking about like people that have served in the White House, people who have some of the biggest ministries that you can have, they say like, I did not know where I was going. And I have been shocked to see where he has taken me. God is going to dream a bigger dream for you than you can ever dream for yourself. So we show up every single day, right? Giving everything our best. And sometimes your best, right, may look like 60% compared to what your best would look like on a really good day. But we're just going to keep showing up and say, hey, God, whatever I have to give, I'm going to give it all. That's and then we trust him to keep us moving forward.
Yeah, because I think about it. For some reason, God trusted you to be at that school with those people. For some
exactly.
reason, God trusted you to be a lawyer at that firm. For yes. some reason, he trusted you to be a sister to that friend or to be at that coffee bar with that person at that time. And it's like, for some reason, think of all the things and places in the world you could be. Yep. You're there with yep. that for some, and so I love that. And I think too, I mean, gosh, there's freedom in that. There's nothing more tormenting than feeling like you have to have it all figured out and everybody has their life together but me. And when you just one step at a time, am I doing this step right? There is so much freedom in just being able to be instead of yeah. having to, you know, like karate chop all these things into existence.
Yeah, I will say for me, it's actually been very hard. Like I don't want anyone to, some people, maybe it's easier. For me, it's been very, very difficult. And that's why I have to get up and have worship every morning. Yeah. I have no choice because else I wouldn't be able to do this. Mm-hmm. I want to know where I'm going, right? Like I want a picture and I want a map and I want the destination marked out. This process that God has been taking me on has been very different than anything I would ever have expected or wanted. Mm-hmm. But here we are, and we're learning and growing, and I hope we're developing a way stronger relationship this way mm-hmm. than we would have had I known exactly where I was supposed to be.
This is so true. This theme of like God will never give you something that will make you need him less has kept like in my conversations this week kept coming up, and it is ministering to me, and it's so true because I am a control oriented. Like I think like I'm a writer too. I think that comes from there's times that strength is great. And then there's times where you have to be really checked because yeah. there's boundaries there. And so it's just like, honestly, loving the giver more than the gifts he's giving
yes.
is what it's about. And that's a dance. And I don't yeah. know if you ever get that right perfectly, but it's a dance. And all that to say, I know we're coming up on time here. And Heather, the way I always round out these conversations, especially after such a fruitful one today, I think one of my biggest things that I appreciate about our talk today was around purpose, because I do think that's something that's just weighing so heavy on people and giving people permission to know it's okay not to have everything figured out. But even in that uncertainty, you can be certain about taking control over what God blessed you with today and yes. showing that. You know, there's always like the, okay, if you could go back and give yourself some advice, what would it be? But I think there's something to be said about our former selves. Like we're called to have childlike faith, the child in us to be speaking to us. And so what would younger Heather tell or give advice to current day Heather about?
You know what? Here's like a positive one, because all that came to mind was like negative things that I probably would have been like, do more, right? Younger Heather would have been like, do more. But here's what I think a positive thing. I would have said to myself, keep believing, keep having hope, keep having faith. Because I think as we get older and you experience more disappointments, that gets harder. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, if anything, it feels safer to stop dreaming.
Yeah.
I'm just going to, my husband said this. We were praying the other day and he was like, God, help me to have zero expectations. That way I'm not disappointed, no matter which. If you do something great, Lord, and if you don't, just help me not to have any expectations. And I'm like, this is sad that as adults, we end up like getting to a point where we don't want to dream anymore because we know it's going to hurt our feelings. But I do think younger Heather would have said, dream.
Dream. I love that. And that's such a beautiful marriage between like what you were talking about, that God is a big God. He's also a small God.
Yeah.
And so we have a God that allows us, we have the capacity to dream big, but we also have the ability to serve right where we are. That gives us like the sustenance to be able to go on that journey towards bigger that he's leading us. You know? So I love that. And Heather, you are such a delight. I'm so grateful.
You too.
You're on Made to Shine today and just all you're doing. You've got a crowd cheering you on from afar, and truly you're a light in all that you do. And so thank you for your mentorship and your ministry and in every single way that you impact people.
Thank you so much for having me.
Beautiful friend, I hope that this episode blessed you and brought a smile to your day. Hey, if we're not already hanging out on social media, go find me on Instagram. I'm typically living in my stories over there. Or join my weekly email fam. You can find the links for that on my Instagram as well. You guys, I hope you were reminded from this episode today that you are a light and you are called to go shine it in all spaces that you hold. And if you love this podcast, I would so appreciate if you shared it with anyone that came to your heart. And or a review would help me so much. Love you guys. Go shine your light. See you next week.